Blog Talk Radio.
And there that goes. And for some reason, always on this blog talk thing, always have to squeeze my screen down to like 90 or 85% so I can get the gosh darn menu to show up. Then the menu shows up, then it'll let me go to the studio page, and then I can widen my screen out again. These laptop screens are a wee bit smaller than desktop screens. All right, so just found out that they're having one of those award deals. So apparently people are getting awards for shows, and there's an award show, and they're showing awards. Well, sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you got to show awards. And that's why the episode was titled as it is with, let's get the flash chat open. The flash chat doesn't get used much, but I figure if I have a faster computer now, I might as well have it as an option there for folks. The title is Scalia Wins a Grammy for the Best Death. All right, so that's the title there. Go ahead and tag in you. So if you want to tag some folks there, you got the notification.
Thank you.
And let me reach on over here and take a look at this gosh darn thing. What the hell is going on here?
We should make our own decision.
Okay, good stuff, good stuff. All right, and we export audio. There's that sort of behind-the-scenes shia, isn't it? And I think we just had what do they call that? Valentine's Day just passed.
Yeah.
So that's fun stuff.
Uh-huh. It was fun stuff. Yeah.
And we have some audio that we created for Valentine's Day. We sat down and produced a little bit of action, and so we'll have that coming up in the show break at midway through the program. Going to be a long show break, mostly because of that Valentine's deal. And adding on a little bit at the end there. So, all right, so Scalia is dead, and it's a good thing. And we should dance on his grave and laugh about it. Coming up in the news, someone fired multiple gunshots at a police officer's home in an Oregon county where the sheriff has vowed not to enforce gun laws. Police are seeking a suspect who fired the several shots at around 10:30 p.m. on Saturday at the law enforcement officer and officers in Klamath Falls home. All right, so, and also a 5-year-old boy battling cancer proposes to his favorite nurse. We have a daily dog attack updates, real quick, fast action on daily dog attack headlines. San Jose ex-cop accused of on-duty rape claims, and he claims that the woman came on to him. Okay. Scientists have now quantified mountaintop removal mining's destruction of Appalachia. And Katrina Pacey, she's being honored by the nonprofit Options for Sexual Health with the Sexual Health Champion of the Year for fighting for sex workers' rights. And for Free Thought Fitness and Nutrition, we had Blue Bowls. It's a very short 14-second video clip that you can find at the Wine Cellar Podcast Tumblr page. Now, right, and of course there is the Patreon. The Patreon link is right there in the show description, along with the PayPal.me/PhoenixandWilliam right there in the Giggledy Gosh Darn show description. What headlines have you noticed? Like, what caught your gosh darn eye today or earlier today? Or since we've done an episode?
Well, I think everybody is, well, not everybody. The black feminist group I'm in is incredibly disappointed that Angela Bassett has opted to support Hillary Clinton. That's kind of sad to me. And then, of course, let's see, I don't know what else is going on in the news. Debates about who the next Supreme Court justice is going to be. Somebody was, I guess they're favoriting Loretta Lynch for that. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but I find that interesting. Oh, someone from your neck of the woods, Casey Anthony, I heard, is starting her own business. Is that a thing?
No, I have not heard of that. I don't know what the holy heck darn is going on there.
Yeah, I heard she's starting like her own like independent photography business, I guess. From what I hear. So I mean, I guess that's the white privilege for you. You can kill your children and still have your own business, and I guess not be lynched in the street. So that's happening. I don't know. Let's see. I think that's most of it. I don't think I saw a ton of exciting things happening today. I don't know. Oh, they're going over. This is going to be a story probably next week, maybe in 2 weeks. They're going over the Rekia Boyd footage. She was a black woman who was killed by an off-duty Chicago cop because he just decided to recklessly fire into a crowd of people and killed Rekia. Apparently there's emails and some kind of evidence and things that were involved with the case that were mishandled, so those are coming to light now because we put in a new watchdog independent group to oversee police investigations because of the Laquan McDonald incident where police shot him because they said he was going towards them, and actually on camera you can see him walking away from them. So the Rekia Boyd case might get more attention, hopefully. And, I think that's the other big thing, Germany, right? I think we talked about Germany with all the mass sexual assaults that were happening at the hands of immigrants.
Yeah.
Did you see the update on that story?
I didn't get to read through it too heavily.
Yeah, so basically on New Year's Eve, it was reported that a bunch of, brown Muslim men were sexually assaulting German women, and it was blamed on Syrian refugees. And so now that police have been investigating, it turns out they've arrested 58 men, but only 3 of them were actually refugees. 2 of them were from Syria, and 1 of them was from Iraq. So it was actually German citizens who were sexually assaulting other German citizens en masse. It was not refugees like they had originally, like what was being said.
By all the right-wing outlets. Now, I don't know about Fox News. I didn't hear it on, and as a Fox News viewer, I didn't see it on Fox News. But remember, I only see Fox News for about 90 minutes in the afternoon, typically about 4 days a week. So it may have been on Fox News because I watch a limited amount of it. But right-wing independent media, they were running with it, all the way up to the men's rights activists, right? Uh-huh. So suddenly, which shows you that men's rights activists, they're just right-wingers that have their particular one issue that everything else branches out of, right? The silly little men's rights bullshit, that's the tree, and then all the other typical right-wing shit you can expect from any right-winger branches off of that tree.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's important, too, to talk about the way men's rights activists framed it was that it was brown men who were rapists, and so basically all women of the world need to cater to white men because we can either be their wives if we're white, or we can be their maids if we're not white, because they'll keep us safe from, like, the brown and black savage men. Like, a lot of MRAs tried to play it off like that because they're for all men, apparently.
Yeah.
Except not really, because...
And this is actually, this is a paraphrase from what one of them actually said on that episode. They came over here and they got jealous because they saw that, the women are, dressed different. They don't have on all these clothes. And they see white men walking around with a hand full of ass.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted some.
So, yeah. And of the suspects that have so far been arrested, it turns out 25 are Algerian and 21 are Moroccan, but they are German nationals or German citizens, or they have a visa to be in Germany. They're not refugees. And then, of course, remember, too, When we're talking about North Africa, there's a lot of really white passing people in North Africa. You know, remember your friend Nawal, right? Yeah, North African. So just because it says Moroccan does not mean that that person is necessarily even what one might imagine when you think of, like, a brown Muslim. So
yeah, and that nigga was born in New Jersey.
What, see what I'm saying, though? I'm
Internet
African.
Internet personas,
like,
man.
I'm African. Mm-hmm.
People just log in, and it's just fucking, it's some Jekyll and Hyde shit.
Yes.
Or if you like old Disney sketches, Mr. Walker and the Motorist.
Yes, that too. And then another thing is they talked about, like, mass sexual assault, and this is, I personally have gotten to a point where I dislike the term sexual assault because you don't know what it means anymore. A lot of people hear sexual assault and they assume rape, but apparently a lot of the sexual assaults in this case were groping, which, you know, obviously I'm not going to condone groping, but there's a difference between being groped in public versus being raped while surrounded by a group of men, you know.
Yeah.
So the majority of these sexual assaults that they talked about were not actually rape. It was like public groping and things like that. And then out of all the complaints that were received, more than half of them, it turns out, were actually reports of theft and robbery and muggings, not the sexual assault. So apparently the way the right wing has reported this entire story has been completely ridiculous. It wasn't refugees. Most of the complaints were theft, and most of the sexual assaults that reported were not actually rape. It was groping and, you know, like sexual harassment type of things. So, yeah, that's I found that to be a little bit interesting. I'm trying to look, scroll through this article real quick. I think there were 22 cases of sexual assault out of 1,000 reports of crimes. Over 600 were theft, and 22 were sexual assault. So, yeah, but I mean, fuck the refugees, though, right? Because they just lost their, Merkel had a policy that was speeding up the process of letting refugees in the country, and then this thing happened over New Year's, right? So this is all people know for New Year's, right? There's a bunch of parties going on because it's New Year's, and what they were told was a bunch of refugees came out and started sexually assaulting German women, and there's over a thousand complaints of crimes that happened on New Year's, so everybody obviously is freaking out like brown refugees. So, it was most of, you know, so out of these 1,000 reports, 600 are for theft, only a handful are for sexual assault. The majority of the sexual assault ones are for groping, not actually rape. And only, what did I say, like three refugees? Yeah. So, but fuck refugees, because now they're not going to be allowed in. So I guess well done, right-wing media. You should be proud of yourself.
Yeah, so I think that's the only one that we have listed here in the as we move forward with the program that is not on the news page, which is the fatherteresablog.wordpress.com. If you prefer to use the Facebooks, that's Father Teresa's Wine Cellar News, and those there are tiny URL links right there, and you can get the gosh darn news in your face.
I like that song.
I love your black ass from the morning to the nightfall. If anybody does you wrong, your face gets sliced off. I'm here for you, you're the greatest to me. My life came together cause you make it complete. I'm down from right now to the future days. We could talk shit, clown around and shoot the shade. Black love stands up and still stood sturdy. Gray hair on Medicare and still look 30. You cute motherfucker got me like tripping. If you went missing, I would have to start my mission. I would turn every stone till you're safe and at home. Kinda like when America looks for white women. I would get every nigga from every hood, every set, and we would turn this whole thing to a deadly mess. I would stress to whoever wants to hurt you, I'll kill them and put their family in the dirt too.
cause I only wanna be down with your black ass. From the first chuckle to the last laugh, to the footsie on the coffee table while we cheap one, cracking up to these living single reruns. We think we're Max and Kyle, but to compare is only to deny that we're more like Sinclair and Obie. Cause in the 90s kind of world I can't have a day without you motivating my black ass. We're black and awake, so make no mistake, whether we have a closed fist or a dreadlock, so we could crip walk and twerk on Scalia's grave while we smile at the news of another dead cop. Is it petty?
No. Were you ready?
No.
Well, black love is revolutionary.
Oh. Then you can get used to it. Who knew it would last?
I did.
And I love your black ass.
Why's that?
Cause you're the one for me. Not the two, not the four, not the humble three.
No, no.
I won't mince words with mine. I don't inherently deserve your time. Here's a piece of a poem I started to write. I love that your black ass is part of my life. It's you that put the blue sky back in my day, so I shine on you for this black and time today.
So throw your hands in the air if you're black and they can't compare ya. And if you're single and happy on Valentine's Day, somebody say hell yeah yeah.
Now throw your hands in the air if you're black and they can't compare ya. And if you swing with a fling on Valentine's Day, somebody say hell yeah yeah.
Now throw your hands in the air and flash that engagement ring. And if you're already married on Valentine's Day, take your ass home and do your thing.
Now throw your hands in the air if your child support is paid, but you don't get a hell yeah. You're supposed to do that anyway. Now throw your hands in the air if you're in love but you talk shit. And if we see you in Red Lobster after Valentine's Day, aw shit.
Cause we black y'all, and we black y'all, and we blacker to black, and we black y'all. Cause we black y'all, we black y'all, and I love your blickety black ass y'all. We black y'all, we black y'all, we blacker to black, and we black y'all. We black y'all, we black y'all,
and I love your blickety black ass y'all. Motherfuckers. Alright, have a fucking safe day, fuckface.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
Hello, Breaking Brown family. Hello, YourBlackWorld.net family. And I really just want to take a moment. I have to apologize, you guys. I'm kind of under the weather. But I could not say anything about this whole Hillary Clinton-Bernie Sanders contest that's well underway right now. And the one thing I want to talk about right now is a comment made by icon, civil rights icon, Representative John Lewis. And I don't want to make any light of anything that he's achieved. I just want to question, how long can you rest on your laurels? How long can you rest on something that happened 50 years ago? It doesn't mean that that's not important. It doesn't mean that doesn't lay the groundwork for who we are and where we are today in terms of the importance of that movement. But I saw Representative John Lewis say something today that just made me think that he needs to be dismissed totally as a political player. And he says something about Bernie Sanders. He said, the Congressional Black Caucus has come out and they're putting all of their eggs in the basket of Hillary Clinton. And that's kind of understandable. I'm sure the Clintons have done a number of favors for the Congressional Black Caucus. And now Hillary Clinton is calling in all of her favors. If I ever did anything for you, if I ever called a school, if I ever came out to campaign, if we ever wrote you a check, we're calling in that favor right now, Negro, right now. So I understand what's going on. But he said, John Lewis says something that's so reprehensible, so disgusting to me, in the sense of, and how he tried to claim ownership of the civil rights movement. This man said, of Bernie Sanders, I never saw him. I marched at Selma. I was out there, and I never saw him. I never spoke with him. So in order to lead us to the conclusion that if you never saw Bernie Sanders out there, he must not have been there. I mean, there were thousands of people out here doing this work, marching or whatever. There's a picture I saw of Bernie Sanders in the same March of King or whatever. And it is so despicable of him to say, well, I didn't see him, and I saw Hillary Clinton. I saw Bill Clinton. Well, Hillary Clinton was a Goldwater girl during that time. She was a Republican. So I don't know how you saw her or where you saw her, but Hillary Clinton was a Republican. So you're gonna down the guy who actually was, you know, involved in the civil rights movement on behalf of Hillary Clinton, who was a Goldwater girl, who was a Republican. Is that what you're doing, John Lewis? Is that what you become? Is that how low you've fallen? Now, I'm not saying that John Lewis couldn't endorse Hillary Clinton if he wants to. You can endorse the woman and say, hey, she's you know, you can lie and say she's been beneficial to black people, and we know that ain't true. But you can lie about that and say this woman has done some good stuff. Really, what you mean is some good stuff for me, in terms of helping black elected officials, in terms of appointing some black elected officials of the Miss Leadership class to her cabinet. I'm sure she has done some things on that level. So if you want to support her, support her. But don't try to act like you were everywhere. You were some type of omnipresent, omniscient God during the civil rights movement, that you were everywhere. You don't know who was where and who was doing what. Like, you that's not your role. And you're going to talk about that and not talk about the fact that Hillary is a former Republican? I mean, dude, like, we know now that obviously John Lewis knows on what side his biscuit is buttered. And I mean that sincerely. You don't have to, even if you're going to fight for the scraps off master's table, you don't have to fight that hard. You don't have to go that hard. It didn't call for all that. You know, so, I mean, the thing that really kind of blows my mind is, like I said, not just that he went with Hillary, but the way he went with Hillary, like the way, like, these people can get us to become like pit bulls for them. You know, not just I endorse you, I show up and I shake your hand. No, I'm going to do everything. I'm going to say that Bernie wasn't even there. I mean, I know they got a picture of him at the march, but I'm going to say that dude, he wasn't even around Miss Hillary. So I think that is the problem for me. And I saw Congressman Jeffries come out and say, you know, Hillary Clinton or the Clintons have been a friend to black people. And honestly, I don't think there's any question at this point. When you look back at the record, that Hillary Clinton has not been a friend to black people. We're not just talking about mass incarceration. We're not just talking about welfare. We're not just talking about deregulation. I mean, you can actually plot the ways in which this Clinton family, this duo, has gutted and devastated the black community. You can actually, you know, draw a line from the evaporation of black wealth in the black community back to the deregulation of the Clinton years. You can draw a line to welfare and how you have black people now falling below the cracks and can't find their way back up, because people who are born poor usually die poor. That whole rise to the top stuff is just crap. People teach you about American meritocracy and American exceptionalism. It's BS. It doesn't mean anything. It's just propaganda. So, you know, I think I would be hard pressed to find in recent memory another president who's been quite as damaging. I mean, Reagan got there. Reagan got real close, but, you know, Clinton is there, and you have to remember that Clinton is the guy who actually decided that the Democratic Party should move to the right. You know, we have a Democratic Party now that is mimicking the Republican Party. The only difference most of the time is rhetoric. And you have to remember that it was Bill Clinton who championed the DLC centrist center right policies and drove this huge wedge between, you know, this huge wedge between black people, minorities, everyone else, and white people. It's the funniest thing is that Hillary Clinton is the same person who bragged during 2008 campaign about having the support of white working class people, and now she's depending on black people to be her firewall. And the sad part about it is, a lot of us really are her firewall. I saw a bunch of stars come out on to support her in South Carolina. You have pastors now. Negroes are getting in line, and I hope that I haven't come down in favor of any candidate, but I think this division is good. Dude, nobody's gonna just keep going along because the old guard tells us that's what we're supposed to do. No, these people haven't benefited us. Hillary Clinton, the woman who was standing beside Bill Clinton when he signed the Welfare Act, admitted before she died that it was the wrong move, that working didn't help her. She worked at a job where she made a little bit of money, and even if she made after she made a little bit of money, she still couldn't afford her medicine. Clinton used her, just like he used black people, just like Hillary Clinton is using black people now. Now, I can't say what's in store for Bernie Sanders, but I think, in terms of myself, I'm kind of tired of being used. And I think, you know, that's the division between me and John Lewis. I'm kind of tired of black people being used. He's okay with being used as long as somebody butters that biscuit. So I think, you know, that's the question that we have to answer. Are we going to have a voice? Are we going to have a seat at the table? Or are we just going to let people call in favors and just let these people tell us who's going to be next? The Congressional Black Caucus isn't going to tell me who I may or may not vote for. The celebrities, black celebrities, aren't going to tell me who to vote for. Or who not to vote for, you know. So these people don't. I mean, I think we have to get to a point where these people have no control, because they have their own allegiances, they have their own alliances. That has nothing to do with us, the voters, and we should make our own decisions. That's my point. So let me know what you think in the comments.
All right. Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, Father Teresa, the greatest black atheist, Beanie Loco, the uppity negress. Let me tap that volume button there. And, Lisa Loco, white splainer in chief, fallen loco, now installs car stereos. So if you need some bump in the trunk, if you will, Fallen Loco knows how to install that, make sure that the wires are not exposed, you know, and that they won't set a little fire under the carpet, gets all those things set up very properly, gets the subwoofers right in place, and make sure that your trunk will not shake in like a really ugly way so that it's like rattling. And you need a car stereo installed, go to fallenkitty.com and get that set up. And on the Facebooks, I have a little page called White on White Crime. Apparently that somebody else started a White on White Crime page that's a lot more serious than mine. Mine is mostly for memes. And so you want to go to the one that says White on White Crime is a subsidiary of Wine Cellar Entertainment. You go to that one, and I just posted a funny picture. It is funny. It's a hot person. Hot woman lady, and she done found herself a do-rag, and it says, let me see here, new trend alert, the silky hair sheet, fashion gurus are blazing a trail with this innovative look. It's a screenshot from when Cosmo Headlines was trending.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun, actually.
I'll go ahead. I'll link it in the archived chat space, the Wine Cellar Podcast Friends Group, folks.
I think my favorite one was the picture of a hot comb, and it said, "Try the latest from Paris, known as a thermal styling comb."
Thermal styling comb.
That was my favorite one.
That is fucking outstanding. Holy shit, damn. All right, so back to Argon. And this is this isn't even an update, because it's a different story, but it's the same jack-knuckled fuckstick. Back in, Jesus Christ, I think early January, we hit you up about a sheriff that was like, I ain't gonna enforce no new gun regulations, and then shit just got shot the fuck up. It was about background checks, and somebody who went got himself one of them AK-47s, and he shot some shit up, you know, a house with children in it. None of the kids got hit, and just bugged out. And then dipped out, crashed a car trying to get away, and then ran and ducked in the woods and got caught. And then when he was in court, the judge actually had to have him removed because he was just bugging out in the courtroom. So most likely, if he would have had to go through a background check, he wouldn't have got that damn AK-47 shooting gun in the first dat gun place.
So just to be clear, he shot up a house, stole a car, crashed a car, and led police on a chase and was taken into custody alive?
He was very black.
I see, clearly,
Yeah, he was black.
That's probably blacker than you.
He was very light-skinned black. He was very white-passing. You could even say he was white. His parents were actually white.
Well, he's actually mixed race, because I don't know if you knew this, but Bill Clinton laid down some education, and we're all mixed race people, so I mean.
Bill.
Although I guess if white people are mixed race, doesn't that make actual, like, 100% African black people, like, the master race then?
So Bill Clinton's saying we're all mixed race. So he's basically saying, well, I actually targeted everybody with my welfare reform. And this is that. So it's not that same story, but it's that same fucking sheriff. And now the sheriff's crib got shot up. Multiple gunshots at the home. And police are seeking a suspect who fired several shots at 10:30 p.m. Saturday. No one was injured in the shooting like the last one. And the now this is one of the cops that works under the sheriff, right? Same department. And the name of the officer and the family have not been released to protect their safety because they're not black. They're not black teenagers,
right,
like the new Central Park Five. No arrests have been made, and police have not said why the officer might have been targeted by gunfire, but authorities say they don't believe the shooting was a random act. Now, I'm just going to guess that it was probably somebody that don't like the government, and police is do work for the government. And,
I mean, maybe.
What up?
Maybe.
The Klamath County Sheriff has vowed to enforce the Oregon Fire has vowed not to enforce the Oregon Firearms Safety Act, which is what we covered some weeks ago, and which required background checks for almost all private firearm sales. Sheriff Frank Skra, remember us saying that name, Frank Skra, spoke out against the expanded background checks before they were signed into law in August, saying he would not confiscate any guns or abridge the right to bear arms. Skra pleaded not guilty in November to a variety of charges in connection with sexual harassment, excessive force cases against him. Seven of the sheriff's 30 deputies asked to be placed on leave after they were questioned about Skra in the excessive force investigation. Two women who serve as prosecutors have also accused Skra of sexual harassment. The Klamath County deputy has said she will sue for retaliation and discrimination after she said Skra reassigned her to patrol duty after she was interviewed as part of the excessive force investigation. So you can see why they're so against the government, because they're fucking lawbreakers. Like, this guy is essentially just a cowboy-ass criminal. And it's just what in the holy heck darn he is. All right, let's take a look over here. And I just want to point folks to another one of the homies. They have a blog, and I let them know, like, if you blog, I'll reblog your blogs to ours, and then they'll automatically go to our Tumblr and Twitter. And the and the name of their blog is To Be a Better Butch. This is, LGBT folks, lesbian writer. And the one we just recently shared was, it's called What Are These Things We Call Feelings? And we went ahead and shared that that blog post from them. And also, if you go to our socialdissonance.wordpress.com blog, one of the more recent ones we have up is called Let's Keep Pretending There's This Bernie Bros Problem, though. And then it has This Is What Happens When a Woman Supports Bernie Sanders Online. We reblogged this from an article. And somebody named, I think this is one of those names you might be familiar with, Emily Ratajkowski.
All yeah. right.
Like, why is the J right next to the K? What is that? Ratajkowski.
Ratajkowski?
And, and this person is, I guess they do like the modeling and whatnot. And they said, hey, you know, I like this Bernie Sanders guy. He's he seems like an all right feller. And well, here, and the thing is, the reason Bernie Bros, the only reason why people say it is because it's alliterative and it has a small amount of syllables. That's the only reason why people even say it, right? And but the Hillary folks, they saw her say that, and remember, the Hillary folks are supporting Hillary because they're not sexist.
Right. Yeah, well, did you know, this little known fact, every time you make a meme that's anti-Hillary, you're being a misogynist. I feel like you should know that. You probably don't know that.
Oh, yeah, then I'm essentially, I'm Andrew Dice Black nigga.
You might be.
So one of them said, I find it funny how we care about the opinion of someone who was famous for being naked in a music video.
Wow.
Next Hillary supporter. And that's why models should stay away from politics. Next one.
Huh.
Proof that all you are is a pretty face. Next one. That's a crying ass shame. Unliking your page now. Next, oh, she's a moron with no clue about politics. Frowny face. And the next one.
Casual ableism there, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, you gotta have that. And then they have just another mindless beauty. This generation has no idea where the money will come from. Idiot.
Casual ableism.
And then this one, maybe if you put your tits away, I could hear your voice. And,
whoa.
And let's just be clear, that was from a woman. And then this is a longer one. It says, idiots should stay out of politics. If you have no clue what is going on in reality in this country, you shouldn't support the next puppet. She's obviously there just for eye candy, and the fools that will vote for this puppet because a hot woman said she will, sheep. Stick with taking off your clothes until you take the time to educate yourself about the real world, not the one the puppet politicians want us to be. Oh, they put the word believe, but they capitalize L-I-E in believe. They want us to believe exist. Also posted by a woman. Then a man said this one, dumb blonde supermodels for Bernie. Ha ha.
Also, I find it interesting that Bernie is the one who's the puppet. Like, isn't Hillary the one who has the history of corporatism? I mean, no? Oh, okay.
Mm-mm. And here's, I'll do one more. This is from another woman said, you're a fucking disgrace to Polish people to be voting for a communist. Fuck yourself, dumb bitch. Don't know. They didn't know they let retards vote.
Whoa. The vitriol. Like, damn, y'all.
Gotta watch out for those Bernie bros, man. Those fucking Bernie bros.
Wow.
Very sexist, those Bernie bros.
That's fucking, wow, I mean,
mm-hmm.
Damn, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know they were, that's actually worse than I thought it was going to be, like, I'm not even going to lie.
oh, shoot, did your microphone cut?
No, still here.
Okay, it sounded like it stopped abruptly. All right. And don't forget, and we are reblogging from To Be a Better Butch now. So go ahead and check out her blog. She is doing her thing, writing her stuff. And moving forward, we have a 5-year-old boy battling cancer and proposes to his favorite nurse. And I looked at it and I was like, is this a sexist story? I don't know. Like, should I bring? And it's like, God damn it, he's fucking 5 and he's about to die. Like, I can't get mad at this kid. Like, the world around him that made him say, you know, you're supposed to go after the girls, you know, like, that's the world around him. But shit and damn, the kid is 5 and is about to die. All right. So it was at the young age of 5 that Gideon Robinson became a superhero. The daycare doctors put a port device into the cancer patient's tiny chest to pump him full of chemotherapy treatment. He transformed into Iron Man. At least that's what his mother told him. Now, what his mom didn't realize, she wasn't lying. Her Iron Gideon really did have superpowers. For a 5-year-old, he's pretty confident, says his mother, Sosie Robinson. 3 months after Gideon was diagnosed with leukemia, he made a life-changing decision. He was going to ask his favorite nurse, who he called Tall Sarah, to marry him inside Rady Children's Hospital in San Diego. Last week, Gideon asked another nurse whether or not Nurse Sarah was married. Fucking Christ, this kid. She let him know that she wasn't, but really wants to be, and jokingly said to him that he should ask her, Robinson explained. He immediately said, I'll marry her. The nurse brought the little boy some craft supplies, and he got to work. After forming a pink and white pipe cleaner into a perfect circle, Gideon handpicked a purple heart-shaped bead to use as the stone. Quote, I thought it was super sweet, Robinson recalled. On the special day, Robinson asked her son, how are you going to ask her to marry you? He said, I'm going to bend down, and I'm going to say, Sarah, would you have that? The courageous 5-year-old then headed for the nurse station to meet his potential bride-to-be. A tall, dark-haired nurse met him. What up, bud? Are we going to have a dance party? She asked, waving her hands in the air. And others encouraged him. The boy quickly got down on one knee and opened a purple box, which held the pipe cleaner engagement ring. Would you marry me? He asked. And, of course, you can only be my hospital husband, she explained as she placed the ring on her finger. The pair sealed the engagement with a tight hug. Tall Sarah danced while showing the other nurses her bright purple ring. She was the first nurse that took the most care of him when he was first diagnosed with leukemia and spent 11 days in the hospital. He was very sick and scared, so he wasn't his usual outgoing happy self, and she managed to make his day with her fun personality. End quote. The dynamic duo make a perfect team. Gideon hopes their future together will be full of dance parties, laughs, and, of course, Legos.
Oh, that doesn't love Legos.
I should have closed the show with that story.
And it's all downhill from here.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So, what's the next story we're going to talk about? Like, somebody dying? So, what's that word?
Man, write the very next thing down is daily dog attack updates.
Oh, okay.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh, people love us. So,
note for the future, make sure to put these in a preferred chronological order before going live.
I mean, maybe.
Oh, man. Well, hey, in between, somebody named LaPeggy on the Facebooks made a post that got When I looked, it was at 28,000 and change on the shares. LaPeggy is either a swarthy white person. I know what that word means now. Is either a swarthy white person. What up?
Good job.
Yeah, they're either a relatively dark white person or just white passing of you know, some other deal, and this is their story. They said, I stopped to get dinner for my son, and the guy behind us in the drive-thru yells to my son, "Hurry up, fucking nigger." When I got to the window, I asked to pay for his order. Now, I wrote this on the back of his receipt and asked the cashier to hand it to him with his food. My son asked me why I paid for his food if he was mean. I explained that being nice to nice people is easy. You have to be nice to mean people. That's the hardest thing to do. And she wrote on the back of the receipt, "We are not niggers!" Exclamation. "We forgive you!" Smiley face. "Enjoy your dinner!" Exclamation. And a picture of a heart.
Mm.
And I shared it to the Wine Cellar Podcast friends group and said, "Yeah, so fuck this." Like, fuck that. Not fucking buying you shit. And also, why are you concerned with proving that you're not niggers? Like, you should write back and say, "You shouldn't say mean things to me in my community."
Maybe she was just somebody made fun of her nose.
And, you know, she had other ones in there where she was like, "I'm glad butts are in now." Like, really, 2016, and you're saying you're glad butts are in now?
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously. Okay.
Well, it's funny because it's like, I'm glad I can be objectified now.
Seriously.
And it's like, I'm pretty sure there's some folks who would not want to, you know, jeez. Greco's a fucking clown. Ooh, excuse me. All right, so fucking daily dog attack updates, you know, after dancing with tall Sarah. Child mauled and rushed to the hospital after dog attack in Melbourne East. A dog mauled a young child in the face at the Melbourne Outer East. Paramedics were called to the suburban house. And Wari Yalik, about just before noon on Monday, with reports that the child had been attacked. When they arrived, they found the youngster with some serious injuries. Mountain bike dog attack case ends with a $1 million settlement. That was from 10 hours ago. And a toddler injured in a dog attack. That's the same one. Woman hopes a dog attack warning will show up. This is at Rood House. Nancy Edwards was horrified by what she saw last Saturday outside her back door. She said she watched helplessly as her 3-year-old Yorkshire Terrier, Dachshund Mix, was attacked and killed by a bull mastiff dog, and police said that dog got away. Woman killed in North Carolina dog attack. The story's stepfather, Randy Brown, her name is Story. Story adopted the dog about a week ago in Virginia after seeing it advertised in the newspaper. Yeah, and you know what? They did that in the foster care house one time. Like, they went and got a grown-ass, already grown-ass, and in dog years, aging dog. And that was the most dangerous thing. Like, I had actually stopped doing my taking out the garbage chore because I was like, I'm not going in that fucking backyard. Like, I'm just not doing it. Like, that is a larger-than-usual Rottweiler that tends to forget who we are and snap at us. Fuck
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that doesn't seem safe.
Yeah, yeah, that foster care house was so fucking irresponsible. Oklahoma City homeowner in serious...
But remember, if you have an unwanted pregnancy, just put it up for adoption. There's lots of loving, safe, wonderful people who want your baby.
Yeah, because and then maybe it'll get mauled by a Rottweiler that they decide to bring home, and this Rottweiler, it previously associated with wolves, like the person that owned it before, they had wolves at their house, wolves, not dogs, wolves, and that's who he raised that Rottweiler around in his yard. Oklahoma City homeowner in serious condition after a vicious dog attack. Attacked by a dog Sunday afternoon, and officers were called, and a lawsuit filed over an alleged dog attack in Athens while alone with a dog named Felix. Dog bit her face, the lawsuit alleges, and caused extensive physical injuries and deformities to Caroline Hratt. A blind Essex woman out there in New Jersey, Feeny Loco knows about that county now. A blind Essex woman speaks out after an attack by her on her guide dog. And that was one that we had mentioned that one, but this is just an update. Like now she's speaking out on it, and you can get the link at fatherteresablog.wordpress.com. Another toddler hospitalized after a dog attack in Saugus Town Hall in Boston. A Falls resident this is off the Niagara Gazette. They detail a dog attack that injured their pets. An argument over the phone prompted a dog attack. Jesus, I mean, all I do is because there's so many dog attacks. I just run my mouse across that page and copy and paste the whole damn thing because it's just that fucking ridiculous with how many and how often there are these goddamned dog attacks. And let me take a look in here. There's Bag Shoes. Bag Shoes said they had a... Oh, this is a very cheeky post. Looks like they had a case back in the butt where a guy who lived on the crack of town who called a pet food business owner once to ask for help after his pet wolf ate its way through a 25-pound bag of sugar. What is
what?
Going? That is so American.
What? I don't even understand that story. What?
And I don't know why that made me think of this. I remember one day, this was, Jesus Christ, like toward the end of 2013. I think this was in November 2013. And I had poured my vodka in my cup. And then I think I went to go, like, put on a sweater or something or go to the bathroom. Like, I left the kitchen. And I came back just in time to stop my niece from pouring the vodka into the dog's water bowl because she thought it was water.
Oops.
It's like, no. No. And and then back to Bag Shoes in the chat space said he was afraid to call a vet because he didn't want to get in trouble with the law for having wolves. Motherfuck damn. And with that, we will dance it forward into a little bit of break time. And then from the break time, I think we'll have Fallen Loco, who now installs car stereos on the program. And also does, you know, like paintings, you know, like decorative paintings, you know, like a bowl of fruit that you can put on the hallway wall. Like Fallen Loco does that as well now. All right, so we'll catch
did
you on
she do
the...
that? Did she do that new, like, trend with the hair? I don't know if you saw, but you can, like, cut your hair so it makes, like, designs. Does she do that? Because that's kind of cool, and it's new on Cosmo. I don't know if you read Cosmo. But...
Oh, yeah, hair tattoos.
Yeah, she do that? Like, that's kind of cool, you know? Like, wow. Yeah.
And I almost want to trick, like, I want to just take, like, high-quality pictures from the 80s because, you know, niggas is wearing flat tops again anyway, and be like, hey, look, even black people are getting into it.
I swear to God, it was that. And then I swear 2 weeks ago they had one that said it was like a new hair trick. So I don't know if you noticed, but if you part your hair into a bunch of sections, and then you take it two strands and you twist them together.
It's called the rope trick.
It's called the rope trick. Like, man, white people's hair, like, I know y'all had all these amazing hair techniques that I've never heard of before at any point ever in my entire black-ass life.
Like, they're probably going to, next one, I bet by the next pumpkin spice season, so, you know, like early September when it starts to kick in gear, by the next pumpkin spice season, they're going to have cuts in their eyebrows and call them eyebrow speed bumps.
Stop it.
They're going to do it.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I don't know that. Maybe they can start using seasoning on their food. That would be kind of cool.
And then you know what they're going to do next is they're going to get nose jobs to make their noses wider.
Oh, yeah. It's called the Jackson 5.
That's what the fuck they're going to call it. It's going to be called the fucking Jackson 5.
Hashtag slay.
Oh, man. And that is what they're gonna put fucking hashtag slay.
Oh, they are. Oh, and then they had who the fuck is that Jenner kid? Kylie? The one that was dating the pedophile?
Yes.
Did you see her hair, her last thing she was at?
What? What is it?
Man, she had a wee with some, yeah. She looted a black hair supply store somewhere to get that weave.
Oh, man.
You number five. Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to catch you on the other side. We have Mumia Abu-Jamal, and I haven't heard this one yet, so I want to hear what Mumia Abu-Jamal has to say about Antonin Scalia. And then LGBT news update, Jim Hightower, Bold Blue Magazine commercial, and we have the audio again because it's fun to play from the Formation Freestyle G-Style. And oh, yeah, that one that we played in the opening of the program, the I Love Your Black Ass, you can hear that in full high-quality definition at SoundCloud.com and go to Wine Cellar Entertainment.
90 motherfucking folks, mega, about to call, tail, coming at your ass like this, bitch. 90 motherfucking folks, nigga, another motherfucker floating in the fucking river. I'm creeping on that ass with the Glock on your block, leaving your brains marinating. Nine slugs killing off Satan. Die, nigga, nigga, die, nigga, nigga, die, bitch. Another slug getting crushed by a lunatic. I'm blowing motherfucker stones to the year 2000. No, 187 on your ass. So, motherfucker keep slipping. The slugs keep ripping through that ass when I'm tripping. My mind's on fuck, and I'm evil as a goddamn nut. On cocaine, khakis hanging low, kicking G slang. So bring it on, and I'ma screw you like a hot hoe.
Antonin Scalia, 1936-2016. Justice Antonin Scalia of the U.S. Supreme Court, famous for his quips and his judicial opinions, is no more. The Associate Justice, appointed to the court by President Reagan in 1986, was coming up on his 30th year this September on the bench. He was a controversial figure and arguably the most intellectually gifted of his colleagues. But it must be said that his brilliance was not at the service of the many, but the few. Law professor Cass Sunstein, in his 2005 book, Radicals in Robes, criticized both Scalia and perhaps his closest colleague, Justice Clarence Thomas, for their original intent theories. Generally, the theory holds that anything not explicitly originally written in the Constitution was not legitimate law. Sunstein called both jurists false fundamentalists, especially for their opposition to affirmative action, on the theory that government could never take race into account. Sunstein argued, wasn't the 13th Amendment explicitly about race? Wasn't the Civil War? And didn't the Reconstruction Congress create institutions specifically for black ex-slaves like the Freedmen's Bureau, a financial institution? To ignore such history, he said, was disingenuous. writer and scholar Chris Hedges. In his 2006 book, American Fascists, identifies Scalia as a dominionist jurist, or one who used his religious views, not his legal ones, to decide cases. Scalia may have lost his greatest ally in the 1992 Planned Parenthood versus Casey decision, when he critiqued Sandra Day O'Connor's decision to uphold abortions. O'Connor, a stickler for decorum, didn't take kindly to his attack, and thereafter moved perceptibly to the left, often becoming the fifth vote for a liberal majority, especially on criminal justice and women's issues. Scalia, brilliant, opinionated, outspoken, and in-your-face, was never boring. He knew where he stood and planted his flag there for arch-conservatism. Antonin Nino Scalia was in his 79th year of life from Imprisoned Nation. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
It's now time for Big Gay News, brought to you by Lavender Media. This is Shane Luke in Minneapolis, and here are your headlines for Monday, February 15th, 2016. First up, Big Gay News from Illinois. Anti-LGBT bullying has long-term mental health consequences, study finds. Think Progress reports a new study from Northwestern University finds that there are severe long-term consequences that result from it. In particular, LGBT youth face mental health concerns like major depression and post-traumatic stress disorder long after their exposure to bullying ends. In other words, the effects of traumatic bullying, like physical and sexual assault, do not subside just because the bullying has. The study notes that PTSD can be long-lasting and that research with representative samples has found that the median number of years until remission was 14. The study found that differences by sex were significant, while race and age were not. The main difference was that young women were experiencing less of the more severe forms of victimization over time compared to male counterparts. They have already secured funding to continue following the men in this study for another 5 years to continue assessing the impact of the bullying they experienced. Next up, Indonesia is asking Facebook and WhatsApp to block gay emojis. Time magazine reports Indonesian authorities said they would ask Facebook and its popular messaging service WhatsApp to block subscribers from using emojis and stickers with LGBT themes. Although homosexuality is legal, same-sex relationships remain a sensitive issue. Companies who disregard the request may have to face the Ministry of Communication and Informatics Negative Content Management Panel, which has been known to recommend website blocks. Human Rights Watch expressed concern at what it called a, quote, recent spate of hateful rhetoric by public officials against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people in Indonesia. Not all government figures stand behind the recent discrimination. Members of the LGBT community are still Indonesian citizens and have rights to be protected, the country's chief security minister said during a meeting with media. Next up, Malawi's anti-gay law is back in force again. Pink News reports a court in Malawi has ordered the country's anti-gay law back into force. The country's government, which is heavily reliant on support from NGOs and Western aid money, had previously confirmed that it would no longer arrest people for same-sex sexual acts, an agreement first laid out in 2012 after a prolonged campaign. However, a senior judge in Mzuzu has instructed Malawi police and the director of public prosecutions to continue to enforce the law while the government's decision is reviewed. Even Malawian commentators had expressed fear that if allowed to continue, the country's anti-gay laws would impact on aid contributions received from the West, on which the country is heavily reliant. One Nyasa Times columnist warned not to prick the backsides of donors, writing, quote, most people in England would be appalled to hear that people in this day and age are still being arrested for their sexual identities. For our last story, Italy's Renzi rejects church interference and gay civil unions debate. Reuters reports Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi rejected the Roman Catholic Church's interference in a parliamentary debate on legislation that offers homosexual couples legal recognition and limited adoption rights. Italy is the only major Western country that has not yet recognized gay civil unions. Renzi spoke a day after the head of the Italian Bishops' Conference urged the Upper House Senate to allow secret balloting when it votes on the bill, arguing this would allow lawmakers to follow their conscience. Renzi said, quote, Parliament decides whether or not to allow secret votes, not the head of the Bishops' Conference. Latest opinion polls say that 70% of Italians believe same-sex couples should be granted legal protection, such as inheritance rights. However, only some 24% think gay couples should be granted any adoption rights. Italy has tried unsuccessfully to introduce similar legislation several times since the 1980s. That's it for today. I'm Shane Luke in Minneapolis. Join 78,200 of us and tweet your take on today's stories on Twitter at the handle Big Gay News.
Last spring, President Obama got downright crabby toward Senator Elizabeth Warren and muckrakers like me. He was irked that we critics of his Trans-Pacific Partnership kept pointing out that this corporate power grab would directly undermine America's very sovereignty. Under TPP, multinational corporations would be allowed to bypass our courts and go to secretive, corporate-run international tribunals effectively empowered to roll back our nation's consumer, labor, environmental, and other laws that they don't like. "They're making this stuff up," Obama wailed. "No trade agreement is going to force us to change our laws." But on December 18th, the president very quietly repealed one of America's consumer laws in response to a legal complaint that corporations in Mexico and Canada had filed with an existing international tribunal. In effect, the corporations used this secretive autocratic tribunal set up by the World Trade Organization to force Congress and Obama to change U.S. law. So much for the untouchable sovereignty of we the people. And now, at the behest of global oligarchs and plutocrats, Obama is asking Congress to extend this outrageous veto power to thousands of private multinational giants in the 12 countries, from Australia to Vietnam, that would be part of his TPP deal. To sell it, he's the one making stuff up. Put simply, he declared in February, TPP will bolster our leadership abroad and support good jobs at home. This is Jim Hightower saying, put simply, that's hogwash. Research shows that TPP will cost our country another 500,000 jobs and increase inequality by, quote, redistributing income from labor to capital. You see, inequality doesn't just happen. It's caused by deliberate decisions and deliberate lies of corporate and political elites.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit hightowerlowdown.org.
What do you get when you subscribe to Bold Blue Magazine? How about one convenient place to keep up with state and local Democratic politics? And a place to get a local take on national issues. Plus, interesting and thought-provoking entertainment from around the world. But that's not all. When you subscribe to Bold Blue Magazine, you're helping to elect state and local Democratic candidates. And you're helping to advance state and local progressive causes. And that helps make a difference in the lives of real people in our communities. Because every dollar of your subscription allows us at Bold Blue Media to keep costs for candidate training and services ridiculously low. So that every Democrat who wants to run for office and make a difference can. Choose your subscription level and let's get to work building something great together. Subscribe today.
Fact of politics, today, as you may know, I've been critical of the singer Beyoncé for putting out music and videos that are libertine in tone. For adults, it doesn't matter. That stuff happens all the time. But for young girls, especially those who do not have parental supervision, what Beyoncé does could have a negative influence. She pointed that out. We also pointed out Beyoncé, along with her husband, rapper Jay-Z, is worth close to $1 billion, with a B, dollars. So she doesn't have to put out stuff like this.
First stuff, I give an honor to Leslie Mack, an inspiration for making the extra black. And if a clown roll up and want to play with me, jump on the mic and kick a rhyme with they should be. An amazing MC is what I claim to be, and I back the words up when I slay the beat. Black walls with LQ and that whole crew, they lay the brigade that you can't roll through. I'm a black man with a tortured soul, with a bald and receding of a gorgeous throne. But I talk to my homeboys about street harassment, I won't ignore my such a door exposed. Niggas wanna see what's cracking, I bring pain, like a Mac of War beat down by Ving Rhames. Straight nigga when I'm up in the place, it's true. with Ted Cruz has a punchable face. The Oscar's so white, but the music is black. Adele can barely tell what to do with the track. Hello? It's me again. You can wait to exhale, then breathe again. I can go hard on whack foolish punks and still make time for Black Future Month. I see homophobes on Jaden Smith, and you can let that whack shit lie to rest. Cause your girlfriend, she likes the style, but you didn't work hard enough to buy the dress. Now you know where I stand with GF. Motherfuckers don't know about G-Life. Oh no, it's a big scary black man. Look, Chris DeGreco be like, hi, my name is who? My name is what? My name is White Lady. And if I surround myself with women of color when I throw one under the bus, they might save me. Of course, your Dolezal style has a problem with facts. Phoenix words ain't yours and all of it's black. You can punk and shuffle with a spicy foot. Accuse me of libel like I'll be shook. But I don't trip because you won't do a damn thing. So why care? I'm black as fuck and I'm loud as shit. I'll be your PR nightmare. It's like one, two, three into the boat. It's back to being blacker than the murder of a crow. I'm a Northwest nigga and it's hard to do soft. My wife has a purse just for barbecue sauce. Shout out to Converse for making Chuck Taylor. Shout out to Nike for making Cortez. Thanks to them, I never caught by the cops. They saw me hop a fence and dip straight to the set. Now I won't shy away from saying rape culture. Too many of y'all be acting like straight vultures. To my fellow black men, I'm speaking broad and in general. The world revolves around more than your genitals. Yelling at a woman walking, that's grimy, fool. How the fuck you even know she got time for you? Not for you as a man, it's easy to roam. Be the best part of her day and leave her alone. Now I won't stop with this. Y'all kill trans women like y'all the cops and shit. You say Black Lives Matter, I'm mobbing with you. But I can't until we say all of them do. If it's not inclusive, it's a bunch of shit. You're acting like the white man that you're up against. Don't act like a coward. If you want to be an oppressor, white, fight the power. The hate for trans women ain't making sense. I don't got time for you to take offense. Lives are on the line, so don't be the machine we gotta rage against. And that's that black shit. We live, and I ain't even in the beehive or bayhive.
All right, Jesus fucking Christ over here. Oh, excuse me. And dibbit it. Skippy flippy jibby dibby. All right. And Fallen Loco's there. Feeny Loco was there. Stuff is, uh-oh, we'll run it back. Gotta. So, San Jose, ex-cop, accused of on-duty rape, claims the woman came on to him. She came on to me. Said they were alone for just 3 minutes, but that's all it took for then San Jose police officer Jeffrey Graves to suspect that a drunk woman who didn't speak much English and had just been involved in an emotionally draining fight with her husband was wildly attracted to him, he testified Monday. I like the person that wrote this article. Offering his version of events for the first time publicly since he was charged with raping the woman, Graves said she sent plenty of signals that she was interested as he drove her after a family disturbance call, the 1.5 miles from her apartment to the Town Place Marriott Suites Hotel in the middle of the night on September 22nd, 2013. He said the Spanish-speaking woman used words like, what is F-U-E-R-T-E?
Fuerte.
Oh, meaning strong. Mm-hmm. And G-U-A-P-O, guapo.
Guapo.
Or handsome, which Graves took to me. What up?
So he's saying she used words like fuerte y guapo, but he can't put them in a sentence. Doesn't he speak Spanish?
Hey, man.
Because it's going to be hella awkward if she doesn't speak English and she's drunk, but you somehow knew she was hitting on you. Okay.
Yeah. And you're a cop. What the fuck are you going to hotels for? All right. Which Graves took to mean she thought he was good looking. Okay. The San Jose good cop, normal cop, just like every other cop, Jeffrey Graves. Appears at his preliminary hearing at the Santa Clara County Hall of Justice in San Jose, California, on Monday, March 9th, 2015. He was charged with raping the undocumented woman while on duty and roughing up a girlfriend. He rejected an offer by prosecutors to plead as charged or face even more serious charges. quote, "She seemed awfully happy, very engaging the way she kept looking at me." I remember thinking she really liked me and was totally coming on to me. End quote. So after dropping her off inside the hotel, which took another 2 minutes, he returned about 20 minutes later to continue the flirtation, that's a quote, in her third room floor, he said. Graves, now 40 years old, faces a life sentence if he is convicted of unlawfully entering the woman's room with the intent to commit a felony and raping her. He was fired by the San Jose Police Department in September. I say, and now we know police protect their own like a motherfucker, so there must be some evidence that is just absolutely ridiculous where they're just like, no, we can't save you. And they might still get him off because lawyers can always do the slut-shaming defense with cops.
Right. Well, I mean, because she's already married and got into a fight with her husband, so like, oh, so the night you get into a fight with your husband, you think you just have the right to go sleep with another man? Oh, yeah, I can see that coming.
Holy shit here. And he returned when he returned to the hotel room and said he wanted to speak to the woman again, the desk clerk told him to call her on the house phone, but he declined, and the clerk let him into the secured hallway leading to the rooms anyway, allowing him to surprise the woman.
Oh.
Man.
Well.
And, says once the woman let, now this is all his testimony, once the woman let him in the hotel room, he testified that they made eyes at each other and chit-chatted, even though she spoke in only broken English and his Spanish was horrible. So yeah, quite the conversation. He didn't go there with the intent to have sex, he said. Oh, okay. That's a key issue in the trial, since rape carries a maximum of 8 years in prison, but unlawful entry with intent to rape carries a life sentence. The woman, again, his testimony, the woman initiated the physical contact, he said. Then she grabbed my hand and started kissing me, and then began stripping his pants off and eventually climbed on top of him as he lay on the bed, he said. About 25 prosecutors and defense lawyers attended the hearing at the Hall of Justice courtroom, listening intently to his account. When Vega got his turn near the end of the day, the prosecutor made it clear he thought he was lying. Quote, "You respond to a domestic disturbance call. She's crying and distressed. She's in an argument with her husband," Vega said, and quote, "just so we're clear, she's hitting on you?" man. Yeah, let me take a quick look at Reno. Oh, and I see Pamaloco's posting in there's an event, that a Facebook event, if folks are on the Facebooks and interested. It's SJWW, Social Justice Witches Working - Boko Haram, and Pamaloco was handling that, so might want to go in there and see what in the holy... Oh, Feeny Loco's already there. And see what's going on there. Might be some stuff. Might be some things. Maybe some whatnot with a dash of what have you. And just a little dabby-do of this, that, and or the other. Maybe even a little squeaky scrabble and a schmargendigle and a hargen flabble.
What about a flibbity blah 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 thing?
A flippity dabba 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 thing? Yeah.
I don't know. You just keep making noise. Like, you don't even have words anymore. What?
Yes. Yes, that's the structural backle. Now, let's see. scientists have now quantified mountaintop removal mining's destruction in Appalachia. Environmentalism. It's long been known that mountaintop removal mining, which involves blasting the tops off of mountains to get the coal underneath the surface, is a highly destructive process. But just how much of the practice has altered the landscape of Appalachia? Well, that hasn't been quantified until now. This week, researchers from Duke University published a study on how mountaintop removal... That rape squad of athletes they have there have ruined that name. Like, every time I see Duke, it's like I see the word rape in my head next to it. All right, so from Duke University, they published a study on how mountaintop removal mining is drastically changing the landscape of Appalachia, making some regions 40% flatter than they were before. The study, which focused on southern West Virginia, found that since the practice began in the 1970s, mountaintop removal mining has lowered the median slope or steepness of the affected mountains by nearly 10 degrees. It's also increased the elevation of affected landscapes by 3 meters, about 10 feet, due to valley fills, the practice of dumping the excess rock and dirt and other waste created by the mountain blast into valleys. The study, which includes an application, and the link to that is in the FatherTeresaBlog.wordpress.com. It's in an app that displays the different parts of the West Virginia have been affected by the practice, and I'm sure Bob Kincaid is talking about this on the Head On Radio Network tonight. And that app is the first to look at the impacts on mountaintop removal on a three-dimensional scale. All right, past studies have only examined the area land extent, the area of land impacted by the practice. The research had really done a good job of mapping the spatial extent of mining, and that's from Matthew Ross, a PhD student at Rape University, and wasn't that all universities? And led the lead author of the study. Quote, but mining is not just an impact that happens in space; it happens in depth. So we started to look for ways to access a spatial footprint, but also topographic. And it's like a GIF graph if you go there and look at it. Matter of fact, I can I copy the image address and drop it in the Wine Cellar Podcast Friends group in the Skipty Scooble and the what in the holy heck darn Fallen Local said her feed is loaded with Grammy updates. Yep. Actually, I was looking at it, and Kendrick Lamar was pretty black there. And there's some stuff going on. Yeah, you might be interested and want to check that out. All right. So, so that's Raw there, and that one. If you want to look that up, that's. And now you could go to the FatherTeresaBlog.wordpress.com and see the full news story, or you could go to the Facebook Father Teresa's Wine Cellar News, and then the link that takes you directly there. Because you know how blogs are, you have to start at the top and scroll down, and it's like, you can probably hear my mouse scrolling right now, like that.
You have a particularly loud mouse.
Well, I mean, I bought it in about 2005, and it still works well enough. I keep wanting to say Spacey. This is Katrina Pacey, honored for sex worker rights activism. One of Canada's most important activists in the fight for sex workers' rights is being named a sexual health champion of the year today. Now, this could be opinion that I don't know of, right? Like, this is most likely like an institution that's well established, but there could be someone else who's just not known and, might not have the certain privileges to be recognized that might be putting in more work. So let's just add that. Is the word I'm looking for caveat?
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's add that caveat that this is an institutional choice. And so her name is Katrina Pacey, And she represented the sex workers who fought Canada's anti-prostitution laws, which resulted in the Supreme Court of Canada striking down those laws in December of 2013. Options for Sexual Health, and there's a link to them in the blog post, a nonprofit group is recognizing Pacey for her work on February 12th, Sexual and Reproductive Health Day out there in Canada. Damn, we missed that. Quote, I feel so happy about the progress we've made. I feel so excited about the government and what they might do now at the federal level, said Pacey, the executive director of Pivot Legal Society, also a link in the blog post to them, based in Vancouver. Quote, we're going to be pushing very, very hard to reach the goals we've been fighting for in the last decade, end quote. Pacey is a lawyer and self-described activist at heart and says she plans to continue pushing for other social justice issues too, including fighting federal drug laws, making safe housing affordable for everyone, and keeping the police accountable. You know. Somebody, you know, you using their class privilege and white privilege to do a good thing. Hey,
mm-hmm.
I can't beef with that, even if it is an institutional choice. All right. And, and that's actually the end of the show notes. We're responsible broadcasters now.
Yeah. Man,
we're
I
a little too responsible. And I'm not, that one that you had me go over, that video, that's not going in the free content. That's just that's too good. That one's too good. Yeah, we're doing that later.
Yeah,
we're doing, like,
Excuse me. I'm just going to be like, yeah, I found something you like, and it's related to hip-hop. Yes. Hashtag winning.
What? Where? Yeah. What is it?
Oh, shoot. I just had another story. And it's
I'm talking about that that abortion video.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that shit is fucking hilarious.
It's going to be a weekend one. We should put that on social justice. Oh,
We could do that. Wait, you go to school tomorrow?
No.
Yeah, let's just do that tomorrow afternoon when I get home from work.
We could do that. Also, tomorrow, I'm hijacking the show. I'm stealing it from you. So I should probably tell you that.
Yeah, you have the login, right?
Yes, we are doing a sex work episode tomorrow.
Yeah, log in and set it up.
Yeah, we're going to do that. So that's on our agenda tomorrow. So for those of you who are listening, if you have any questions for sex workers, you know, you can message me or put them in the group. But, yeah, we are inviting the sex workers tomorrow. So we had a lot of fun last time we did one.
Yeah, or if you're on the Twitter, you can tweet the question to @TheFatherTeresa. On the Twitter.
Tweeting is good. I am
disappointed
in myself because I scrolled away. You know how when you see something and then you on Facebook and you click something else and then you click back, but it just takes you to the top of your newsfeed and not where you were?
Yes. that's that bullshit.
That is not bullshit. This is the problem with being a responsible podcaster because we were like, no, we're going to stop going on so many tangents.
We just fucking ripped through this shit. And we're fucking, I mean, we're essentially done in 90 minutes. We can actually clock out. I mean, unless you want to play this Alex Jones clip. I mean, you know what Alex Jones is on. Fucking Scalia just died. Scalia was a constitutional originalist. So, of course, Jones thinks so Barry Hussein had him murdered.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously. Isn't that reasonable? No, not reasonable.
Yes, it is. It's Jones.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm just saying.
He is so fucking bugged out. You know what? And we didn't just hit the notes that we had. We did extra shit, right? Like you added in the story with the Jesus Christ, you had that. We did the Bernie Bros one. And Jesus Christ. And what? This was a
goddamn
episode.
Did you Did you talk about the stabbing that happened in NYC where that guy stabbed his children and his partner?
What the fuck, man? What?
Was this the child support guy or was this a different guy? Or was it
No, this was a different guy. No, it wasn't about like child support. They don't know what the motive was, but I posted the link to the story in the podcast friends group.
Okay.
Yeah, like it was a pretty jarring case.
What the fuck, man? Well, where is that? There's that.
And it's a little graphic. I'm just a heads up.
But, you know, remember, though, when women say that they're scared of men, that it's hyperbole and they're just being sensitive, right?
And New York like City man accused thing. Of killing girlfriend, her two babies arrested. Jesus. Ah, man, did they have to put his nickname in there? Michael Da Kid Sykes.
Okay.
I mean, I can already see his picture and see that he's Blizzak.
Mm-hmm.
And this is on a... is this a news report or is this just a raw video? Oh, this is just a raw video someone took. Yeah, that's just someone's smart device. I thought that was a news report video. Okay, so, yeah, someone was just on the scene looking at the stretchers coming out of the house. So he's wanted for the horrific triple homicide of his girlfriend and her two babies in the Staten Island Hotel, and he was caught Saturday after 3 days on the lam. Cops nabbed Michael Da Kid Sykes in the lobby of a building in the Woodside Houses on 31st Avenue in Queens at 4 p.m. The accused killer was on his way to visit a friend who tipped off authorities. And there's a picture of the cops with him. And he's been evading justice since Wednesday morning when he fatally stabbed Rebecca Cutler, 26, and killed two of her kids, including one which was his own, at the Ramada Inn in North Gannon Avenue on Willowbrook, which doubled as a city homeless shelter. Jesus fucking Christ. Oh, and they got pictures of the babies. They have pictures of him and her together. Nigga look like proof. Hip-hop heads will understand that. And he does. Man, Jesus fucking Christ over here. Did you just send me a link?
I did, if you want it.
What? What the fuck? We should have clocked out when we had the chance. Man, the show should have ended after Tall Sarah and dancing.
Yeah.
That should have been it, man. It should have been a fucking 25-minute episode. Like, oh, man, yeah, Tall Sarah.
Yay, Tall Sarah.
So we're looking at, is that Serena Williams?
What?
Why is Serena Williams in a science commercial? She does science now?
Oh, she was on the cover of some science books that went out this year for high school, like biology or something.
Oh.
Or anatomy, maybe.
Oh, and it's IBM Watson helps us out. Oh, it's a computer commercial, but they had like some science stuff on it.
Daniel Johnson. Captain of the Georgia Department of Correction at the Emanuel County.
Damn, that audio is really bad. That is very, like, whoever recorded that, that is some sharp audio. So a lawsuit alleges that Georgia prison supervisor raped women inmates. No, it's not alleged. He just did. That's what they do. How come this didn't, you know, and part of my my Google News algorithm is rapes inmates, so... I don't know why this story didn't hit my goddamn algorithms. Like, it has all the fucking keywords. Casey Mincy says when she first met the correctional supervisor in Swainsboro, Georgia's Emanuel Women's Facility in 2012, he seemed like a nice fellow. Wait a second. Let me look at this. Damn, these stories are so common. So she said he seemed like a nice enough fellow. She was 35 and served 3 years for identity fraud and was tasked with cleaning the medium security prison's mental health wing. Captain Edgar Daniel Johnson's office was on that wing, she said, and at first their interactions were innocent enough. They'd chat about the Bible, of course. He'd ask the mother of six about her children, and she'd share stories about her daughter. In October 2013, this, you know what, man, just fucking, this fucking story, let me skip the details, all right? Just, this is the, that's the news, this is the commentary. You know, some folks, sometimes you go online and you see some of the homies that, that self-identify as feminist, and sometimes you might see them, most usually in a tongue-in-cheek way. Like, I personally never see anyone who's, like, really seriously wants to commit a bunch of murders, but they might just make a post that just says, "Ah, kill all men." Uh-huh. This is why. It's a fucking scum. Like, first, gotta end this shit with, I mean, if we must absolutely have this system as is, men can't work in women's prisons. Right? It's just, fuck it. Like, there is no reason for women to trust men in general at all, ever, anywhere, but men working in women's prisons, that's fucking ridiculous. Like, that has to fucking end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just too logical. Like, anybody who thinks that a man working in a woman's prison is logical and they can just be trusted, like, either you're lying to yourself or you're lying to me, but you're a fucking liar, and fuck you.
Indeed.
It really is logical, and if somebody does carry through with the, you know what, I want to kill all men, and I end up being one of them, I get it. Go, like you're trying to fucking survive. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Species might evolve quickly to reproduce asexually. I think you really just got to compress the blood vessels, right? Like, that's all you got to do.
Well, maybe.
Or the blood, the blood cells. You got to really compress the blood cells, and that's essentially what a sperm cell is. So, I mean, you get some women in a laboratory and figure that shit out in a couple of years, and fuck it, yeah, kill all men and reproduce asexually and abort all boy fetuses. Fuck it.
I think that they are coming up with a way to, like, make a baby from DNA from two women, I think. Like, that's already
yeah.
in the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and get rid of the males. And again, like, fuck it, include me. Get, like, if it is for justice, I'll die for justice.
You are not dying. Stop it.
What? It's what okay.
You can die when I tell you can die. All right? Jeez.
My boys follow me, mostly in anger.
Also, Elliot Spitzer. Remember that guy?
Elliot, why do I know that name?
Former mayor of New York City. Or, I'm sorry, governor of New York.
Okay.
Apparently, he's dating a 25-year-old and choked her out and beat her ass in a hotel room. That happened. That's also in the news.
Kill him. Fucking kill him. Just fucking kill him to death. Kill him until he's, like, way dead. And then fucking, and then get a defibrillator and then bring him back and then kill him again. Fuck, yeah. Fuck, and then give him one of Dick Cheney's hearts and bring him back again and then fucking kill him again.
I was just thinking Dick Cheney's parts, like, he has them, like mounted on his wall or something.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, man, you know he has just hearts just hooked up to Dr. Mario fucking Cheney.
But this is actually a thing.
Saturday night, this is an emergency transmission. Associate Supreme Court Justice Anthony Scalia died earlier today at a ranch outside Big Bend in South Texas.
Obama had him killed.
Good. He was found with a pillow on his face, you know. That's proof he was murdered.
Co-parents. I mean, it's happening. I'm going to get to the governor of Texas' statement here in a minute, I've got. Greg Abbott. But we know there is a foreign offshore coup over this country, and I know and a half of him going to the hospital, they announced, it appears to be natural causes, says the coroner, nothing to see here, move along. And I have studied this so many times, interviewing whistleblowers who would die of a heart attack a week later, like Barry Jennings, the deputy head of New York Emergency.
Yeah, yeah, or like William Binney and Thomas Drake. Oh, no, they're still alive. Get the fuck out of here. Fucking gay. But don't mention them. And he's had Binney and Drake on his program. Hell, you know what? I should look in to see what they're doing now. And I got it. And you know what? I also should look and see what Chelsea Manning is doing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like that's important. Like I follow Chelsea Manning real tough. And some folks, just in case you may have fallen out of the loop, like in the past 3 years, Chelsea Manning is a trans woman that originally went by Bradley Manning and was the whistleblower on some whack shit going on in the military. As we already know, some whack shit goes on there. It does.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? Let's go ahead and close it off. I think we did our thing. We are back. We took a week off where we just kind of did an unplanned episode. Like for fun in the middle of that week. But we are back, getting back on the regular schedule. Feeny Loco is going to log in tomorrow morning and set up a program for Tuesday night. So Feeny Loco will actually be producing and hosting and engineering a program.
Right, no pressure.
What? What do you think you're going to be doing?
Right, no pressure. All good.
What are you going to do? You're going to talk, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you already do that. And then just remember to host with a heavy hand if you have a bunch of folks.
Yes.
Yeah, simple stuff. Let's see. So there's the Patreon, Wine Cellar Entertainment. There is more entertainment if you like to be entertained. If you go to SoundCloud, Wine Cellar Entertainment. iTunes, go to iTunes, Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, hit us with the 5 stars, type up a little review if you have an extra moment to do so. If you can, I have not been able to find out how to do ratings on Stitcher Radio. If you found out how to do ratings on Stitcher Radio yourself, give us whatever is the equivalent of 5 stars there. And then if you do need a car stereo installed, go to fallenkitty.com and contact Fallen Loco, and Fallen Loco will install your car stereo. If you need spinning rims, there is a spinning rims tab on fallenkitty.com, and you go there and you get your spinning rims. And you can be like, it's 2002 again, you know, and you can have a good time. And and she'll also install those at a fair price. Like, Fallen Loco isn't like some straight-up capitalist fucking asshole. Like, Fallen Loco gives you a fair price. And Fallen Loco also pays her employees down at her spinning rims business a living wage, not a minimum wage. All right, so you get all that stuff set up. Fallen Loco will handle your car. You need decals. You need a fresh paint job. Fallen Loco does cars. And hey, every single thing that you get from Fallen Loco with your car comes with free windshield wipers, and that's your wine cellar. I just be lying.
No. There's actually going to be somebody who goes there like, this is nothing to do with cars. But they're good books. You should read them anyway.
Yeah, buy her books. That's where all the secrets are for how she does the cars.